Please be seated. I hope your feelings aren't hurt that everyone left. The next case on calendar is case number 60242, Loeb versus District Court. Is counsel ready to proceed?
We are, Your Honor.
Very well. Please do. You want to reserve time for rebuttal?
Yes, Your Honor. May I please reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal?
Very well.
Thank you, Justice Pickering. May it please the Court, my name is David O'Mara, and my co-counsel, Kevin Seeley, and I represent the petitioner in this case. The decision by the District Court to preclude service by publication has broadened the scope of Rule 4 and has expanded the reach of this rule beyond its precise words. Today, the Court will be will have to address two issues. One, is the Hague required when publication is asked? And two, does publication under Nevada's rules violate the Due Process Clause? The answer to both of those questions is no. The Hague is not applicable, and the rule has been consistent for over 100 years, and it does not violate due process rights. In order to determine if the Hague is applicable, we must look to see if there is a transmission of legal documents for the purpose of formal service abroad. There is no formal service abroad in light of a publication. When we look at
Mr. O'Mara, with the exception of real party and interest, Zhang, I hope I pronounced that name correctly.
Correct.
Is it the case that you have the addresses in China for all of the other real parties and interests?
That is correct. We have been.
When were those acquired, before or after the court's order?
They were acquired. The original ones were required or were provided to us before the court order, but after we had requested publication and after we had requested from real party and interest the actual addresses, which were refused to us, forcing us into filing a motion for publication.
Right. I mean, they were, as I understand the sequence, I just want to make sure I have this
right. What?
You requested addresses, they were refused, you filed the motion, they were provided with the exception of Mr. Zhang.
Correct. And then Mr. Zhang's was provided to us after the court order.
Okay. And then the court denied your motion.
That's correct.
After the addresses were supplied.
After all the addresses except for Mr. Zhang.
Okay.
The court order required real party and interest to provide that address, or we would be entitled to serve by publication under the rule.
Why isn't it necessary for a party who seeks to serve by publication, when addresses are known or become known, to send a copy of the summons and complaint by mail? Under 4E1I.
Right. Your Honor, NRS 4E1I is the publication rule, which allows us to serve by publication if the defendant is not found in Nevada, is not a resident of Nevada, or after due diligence cannot be found. There are three issues in regards to what does have occurred. And here it's clear that we fall under the publication rule because it's uncontroverted that these defendants do not live in Nevada, and that's enough for us to go forward with publication. Then you would have to then go to subsection 3 of the rule in order to determine how actual formal service is obtained. And that formal service is the publication of the summons and the complaint, and then the depositing in the U.S. Postal Service, the summons and the complaint.
Why isn't that part and parcel of proper service? I mean, the publication along with the follow-up mailing is all, to me, part and parcel of effective service and process.
According to the United States Supreme Court, when we look at whether or not the Hague applies, we look at whether Nevada law defines the applicable method of formal service as requiring transmittal of the legal documents.
Isn't that what the follow-up mailing is?
It is not, Your Honor. And the reason why is because it does not require service. It does not require any affirmative any affirmative action by any party in regards to an actual transmittal of documents. The language is clear in NRCP 4 that service is completed. The formal service under our rule is completed within 4 weeks of time of the actual under the actual deposit. Now, it's just the deposit. There is no language at all that says that we have to mail the document. There's no
requirement. Wait. Go back again. After deposit of what, where?
That's correct. The rule is specific that says that upon publication in the known address, then the court shall direct a copy of the summons of the complaint to be deposited at the U.S. Postal Service and with the direction that it be sent to the resident of the person being served. Now, when we look at case law around the United States, we determine whether or not the argument is that whether or not it's directed. And directed does not mean that that is a part of the service process. That is just a process of notice to the defendants. The requirement under Nevada law is that it needs to be published, and then it needs to be deposited. After that, the service is
deposited, meaning mailing, which I don't know how you can separate that from being a transmission of a judicial record.
But if I could go back and we look at Volkswagen work and we look at other cases that have gone through this, there's a case out of the Southern District of Alabama, Hyundai, who talks about a case in whether or not it's notice or service. And there's a difference between notice and service. And in that case, they actually cite to a practical handbook in regards to service under the Hague. And in that handbook and in that citation, they specifically talk about it is not service when the court directs a party to place something with an address if there's no service required. And there's no service required. It just the only requirement under Nevada law is that we deposit these documents into the post office. There is no affirmative requirement for us to move forward. The rule doesn't contemplate that there be actual delivery of the mail or an actual receipt of the mail. It just contemplates.
For example, it doesn't require a certified card back attesting to delivery as you get with NRS 14. Whatever. It's
right.
Simply, your point is that E, three little I's, in Rule 4 just says deposit with the post office. It doesn't talk about anything further or any proof that it actually went. There's no certified mail. There's no requirement of proof of return by certified mail as you see in, say, the motor vehicle statute.
That is correct, Your Honor. And under NRS 14.070,
I understand your argument.
The DMV requires the deposit with the Secretary of State's office and specifically requires a certified mail or registered mail to be sent off. And that would be the service.
And that be returned as part of the proof of service.
Yes, because service is not completed until it is actually transmitted. But here,
I have a question before you go down that road. You mentioned a case in the Southern District of Alabama, and I don't see it in your brief.
It is not, Your Honor. That was actually found yesterday.
What is the cite to it?
Your Honor, I do not have that cite, but I will file.
Could you file a supplemental authorities then in fairness to opposing counsel?
Absolutely, Your Honor.
But your argument is that under Rule 4, as distinguished from some of our statutes, the deposit with the post office completes service
right.
By the mere deposit plus the elapse of 4 weeks. Nothing more is required.
That is correct. Okay. Under the service, we talk about what formal service would be. And the formal service is the plain language in Nevada rule is that publication is required. And if you don't have to serve or if you don't have to deposit the documents at the post office, then it's 4 weeks from the service, from the publication. If you do deposit it, then it's 4 weeks from the deposit. There's nothing that requires any service.
Mr. O'Meara, I understood from your reply. I'm sorry, were you finished with your
I just wanted to go into NRCP 4G, which also requires the return, which does not require any proof that the document was mailed, that the document was delivered, or anything of that nature. It simply requires an affidavit by the publisher that the document has, that the summons and complaint have been published, as well as an affidavit that it has been deposited at the post office.
I'm sorry. I wanted to be sure I understood the position you stated in your reply brief. when the addresses are made known to you, you do concede that you have an obligation to mail a copy of the summons and complaint, do you not?
I have an obligation to deposit those documents in the post office, directed to the person that is going to be summoned. But I have no obligations to transmit those documents abroad to a foreign country, nor does the rule require any transmission. The rule requires that foreign service...
But aren't you required, though, to mail the last known address wherever that might be?
We are not required to mail to the last known address, Your Honor. The rule requires it to be directed to, if we know the address, directed to...
And in this case, you know the address except for one party, correct?
Well, we know all of them because it was provided, but the rule asks for it to be deposited. And so when you look at The Hague and whether or not The Hague applies, it's whether or not there is a transmission of legal documents for the purpose of formal service. And when you look at formal service under NRCP 4, it is a publication and then the deposit. But the actual, whether it's mailed or if it's just sitting at the post office, is not an actual part of the formal service. It may end up going towards whether or not the person received actual notice for their due process, but it is not a part of the actual formal service. If I was to mail the document to another location under NRCP 4 E2 with, or E3, which and I don't know the address and I send it, I don't get publication or service upon the person because I mailed it to them because they received it, which is the same thing in regards to this case. Even if I mailed it and they received it on the second day that I mailed it, there is no service. The service is not effectuated and is not... The formal service is not provided until there's actually a four-week period after the deposit. So it does the mailing is not involved in the service at all.
So what if you deposited it without any postage?
Well, that would be something in regards to whether or not directed requires the postage. I think that when you deposit, you probably have to put the postage. I think that would be a reasonable thing.
It's all part and parcel of proper service.
I don't think that there's a requirement under the Hague to say that you have to put postage, but I think there would be a requirement that you actually have to put postage under a due process analysis because that may not be reasonably calculated to give notice to the other side.
Well, actually, that does not bring you under the Hague then at that point.
No, because notice and service are two different things.
Okay.
And I see that my time is up for rebuttal, and I would reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
I'll wait.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. Richard Zelikoff from Katten, Muchin and Rosenman on behalf of Universal Travel Group. Plaintiff here asks this Court to allow him to serve individual defendants whom he knows live in China and not in Nevada by publication in a Nevada newspaper, even though he has made absolutely no effort to use the mandatory and what the U.S. Supreme Court has called simple and certain means, and what this Court has called liberal methods of service available under the Hague Convention. Plaintiff made this request to the District Court, who properly denied it, and he provides no basis to believe that the District Court abused its discretion in doing so. Indeed, I think plaintiff's actions subsequently show that the District Court was absolutely right, because plaintiff has essentially just sat on his hands and done nothing to attempt to serve the individual defendants whose addresses he has known for approximately 20 months. The Hague Convention is mandatory in all cases in which it applies, and plaintiff's primary argument, essentially his sole argument, that the Hague Convention doesn't apply is that service is complete upon publication in accordance with Rule 4E1, and that the rest of Rule 4E, including Rule 4E3, is essentially irrelevant to service. This is somewhat an ironic argument for plaintiff to make, because in his papers, he was very direct in arguing that Rule 4D and Rule 4E are independently significant, but then he now argues that the subsections of 4E after 4E1 have no significance as to service. The plain language of the rule, however, is completely at odds with plaintiff's argument. Rule 4E3 does not say that forwarding or delivery or follow-up notice is complete at the time set forth in that provision, but that service is complete. And so service is an 43 is an integral part and necessary for service. And also, if Rule 43 was merely irrelevant to the question of service, then service would not be deemed complete at different times depending on whether the address is known and whether the address is unknown. I think it's quite clear that if you look at the language of Volkswagen, which is the Supreme Court case that discusses the Hague Convention, at page 707, the court says, where service on a domestic agent is valid and complete under both state law and the due process clause, our inquiry ends and the convention has no further implications. Stated another way, where service is not valid and complete under state law or the due process clause without transmission abroad, the convention applies. So service is not complete, and if service is not complete under either state law or under the due process clause without transmission abroad, you have the Hague Convention applying. So here let's look at the language of the rule and what the rule says. The rule uses language almost identical to what is in Volkswagen and says, service is not complete for someone with a known address until you transmit abroad. Similarly, for purposes of the due process clause, service can't be complete before transmission abroad because you would be violating the due process clause as established in Mullane and its progeny. It's really a strange argument to treat things as requirements as necessary to comply with due process, but then say they're precatory or non-essential as part of the statute. And even plaintiff, at least in his papers, has acknowledged that due process requires, absolutely requires, that he mail notice to the addresses of persons who he knows, and here there is no question but that he knows the addresses of each of the defendants. The argument that deposit is all that is required in 4E3 is simply, I'm actually going to call it, I don't mean this to be flippant, but it's actually disingenuous. The rules of civil procedure, as always established, we trust the United States Post Office. We trust that when we deposit things in the United States Post Office, that they are going to transmit them to where they are at, to where the address where they've been, where the document has been addressed. And here, those addresses are going to be in China, and there is going to be transmission abroad as part and parcel of the entire Nevada statutory scheme.
So do you consider deposit step one, transmission step two?
I think that the two are essentially identical. It's essentially that we assume that once we deposit something in the United States mail, it is going to be transmitted. If you look at Rule 5 of the Nevada Rules of Civil Procedure, it says that service is complete upon mailing. I don't think anyone would treat service as complete upon mailing if we didn't assume as sort of an underlying theme or an underlying assumption of the Nevada Rules of Civil Procedure that when something is deposited in the mail, it is transmitted to the address listed on the envelope.
Does that qualify under the language of the Hague? The rule is literally deposit in the mail or at the post office, and 4 weeks elapses and that's it. It may have gotten lost. It may never have gotten there, but there's no requirement that you put a certificate of service, that the certified mail receipt came back or you explain that to the court. There's nothing further. And the Hague seems to say, in all cases where there is, and I quote, occasion to transmit a judicial or extrajudicial document for service abroad. So the question is whether Rule 4E3's deposit in the U.S. mail or in the U.S. Post Office equals an occasion to transmit the document for service abroad. I mean, are there cases on this that?
There are no cases on this because it is always assumed that if you are depositing something in the mail with an address in a foreign country, that is going to be transmitted abroad. Otherwise, depositing in the mail is essentially a pointless endeavor. Keep in mind here that you've got when you take deposit under 4E3 with respect to a known address. The rule says that service isn't complete until 4 weeks later. That 4 weeks isn't there just because someone thought, oh, we should just add 4 weeks. The 4 weeks is there because it is presumed and it is understood that there will be transmission abroad by the United States Postal Service as a necessary and essential part of service, and that the Hague Convention, therefore, applies without question. I think if you can, if we look back at Volkswagen, which I think is a very important decision here, the court noted that the Hague Convention was intended to bar the practice of notification a part K, and forgive me, my French teachers would not be pleased that I probably don't know how I'm pronouncing that. But notification a part K is whereby service was, an individual was deemed complete upon service in an agent in the country where the lawsuit was filed, and transmission abroad was not necessarily an essential part of service. There's some disagreement between the majority and the dissent in Volkswagen as to whether the service issue or the service at issue in Volkswagen was like notification a parquet, but there's absolutely no question that the Hague Convention applied to notification a parquet, and the majority even says there is no question but that the conference wanted to eliminate notification a parquet. Here, what plaintiff is essentially arguing in saying that you don't need transmission abroad under 4E3 is that he's asking you to interpret the Nevada rule in such a way as to bring back notification a parquet, which is both violative of the Hague Convention, which applies, and then also violative of due process. I mean, there is no question whatsoever due process requires transmission abroad, and it would be, as I said before, it would be strange to treat something as required for due process but not as a sort of non-essential part of the statute.
Counsel, assuming the court agreed with your argument that the Hague applied, I don't find in the record below or in front of this court any argument by you as to the provisions of the National People's Congress as to the Civil Procedure Law, Article 84, regarding whether or not China would recognize this form of service.
I think there is something in the record, Your Honor. I think that if you look at, there's a related securities class action pending in the court in the District of New Jersey, and the plaintiffs there made use of the Hague Convention to serve the individual defendants using those procedures, and were successful in doing so. If the plaintiffs here were successful in doing so in a relatively short order, that case is moving along at full speed. If the plaintiffs here had rather than just sitting on their hands and saying, oh no, the Hague Convention applies, we don't want to use those simple and certain means, we don't want to use those liberal methods of service, but had actually taken the addresses that they got in almost 2 years ago and use the procedures set forth in the Hague Convention, I don't think we would be here. I think
really, I find your argument curious, given the fact that our research discloses that China rejects this form of service as a matter of that country's law.
I can tell you that
you did not argue that. That was my question. You did not maintain in the court below or here that even if service had been effectuated by mail and the Hague applied, China would not have permitted this under their local law.
No, I believe China would not have permitted. I think the way I may have misunderstood your question, Justice Hornsby. The way it works, or the way it's supposed to work, that is if there is occasion for transmission abroad by mail, then the Hague Convention, by virtue of the Supremacy Clause, preempts Nevada law, and that the plaintiff at that point in time should make use of the simple and certain means set forth in the Hague Convention, which for China is to make use of the central authority there, and that in the securities class action, in which some papers from that we did submit as part of our record in response to the petition, China would have allowed plaintiffs to serve using the central authority under the Hague Convention, and we would then be in a position where this case would be at issue and we could move on to the merits.
Well, but service upon the central authority is quite a bit different, if I understand the Chinese statute, than service by publication, which is followed by a mailing to the individual defendant.
That's correct, but you've got a situation where the Hague Convention is mandatory in all situations where it applies.
Mm-hmm.
And it applies in all situations where there is occasion to transmit documents abroad. So then you look at the law of the internal state, according to Volkswagen, to determine whether there is an occasion to transmit abroad. Under 4E3, there is occasion to transmit abroad here, because the addresses of the defendants are known, thereby making the procedures in the Hague Convention mandatory and applicable in this case.
But it's transmit for service abroad.
Correct.
You keep dropping the for service out of your...
No, that's correct. And I think that the rule here is clear that it's transmitted for service abroad, because 4E3 specifically indicates that service is complete, using the word service very specifically, not the use of the word delivery, not use of the word notice or forwarding or follow-up, thereby making it clear that service under 4E3 is an essential part of the service. And I think even if you disagree with almost everything that I've said today, there's a firmly established principle that, you know, courts should interpret statutes or rules so as to avoid constitutional questions. And a court interpretation here that mailing service abroad is a non-essential part of service, where the address of the individual defendant is known, I believe would raise some serious constitutional questions. If I just could sort of finalize in closing, and this is something I've thought about a fair amount, which is, I don't know, and it's a question, is would we be having the same argument if the individuals at issue lived in England or Canada or Germany or another country that's a signatory to the Hague Convention from a jurisdiction with which we are more familiar? And I think the answer is not. I think that the court would tell plaintiffs to use the Hague Convention, especially because Nevada has invited foreign companies to incorporate here. And I think that raises a problem, because the Hague Convention is designed to create international uniformity, and we should be respecting international law, we should be respecting the Supremacy Clause, and I think this court should affirm the district court's ruling and hold that plaintiffs must use the simple and certain means set forth in the Hague Convention. Thank you very much, Your Honors.
Thank you. Chief Justice Pickering, may it please the court again. There are a few issues that are brought up. One is the 4 weeks. There's nothing in the rule that requires or even contemplates the 4 weeks is in place because it makes us have to assume that there's going to be a delivery or actual service. In fact, the 4 weeks is there because that's how much time we also need for publication. It's not simply enough for us to deposit the documents into the post office, but we actually have to provide publication as well, which is 4 weeks. It's not that the rule does not allow for service to be effectuated from the time of actual receipt. Then it would be under the rules of under the analysis that the respondents are saying. They're saying when you put it in the mail, there's service. Well, that's not true in this case. You don't get service here until 4 weeks. And if there was service here, then the time frame, the service at the time of deposit was true, then the time frame to run to answer would start immediately and not upon a four-week time for publication, not on a four-week time in regards to the deposit into the the post office. And that language is very clear. There's no requirement whatsoever to have a transmittal in regards to a service abroad. The service is actually completed here in the United States, and under our case law here in the United States, if service is completed here in the United States, it does not is not applicable under the
Could you comment on your opposing counsel's argument, though, that deposit in the United States Post Office is not just a ritualistic act, like put it under the tree outside and it'll be good. There's the expectation that it will be transmitted by the U.S. Post Office to the address in China where these people are known to have an address. So the rule contemplates transmittal by virtue of deposit in the U.S. mail, and indeed you concede you've got to put postage on it even though the rule doesn't say so.
And there's two different analysis that we have to look for today. One is, is the Hague applicable, and two is due process. Is there a due process violation? And you have to separate those two in regards to this, because when you look at the terms of the law, the clear language in under the Hague and under what the United States Supreme Court has said is that we look at the language from the forum state to determine whether or not they require a transmittal of service abroad, and we do not do that. And in regards to the U.S. Post Office, we actually have procedures in place that contradict whether or not you put something in the U.S. Post Office, it's going to get there. Look at NRS 14.070, requires certified mail, registered mail. So the notion that we believe that it's going to get there is not applicable, nor does it even come into play here, because mailing is not a requirement for service. Mailing may be required for the due process and an actual notice, because it's reasonably the putting it in the post office gives us a reasonable ability to know that the defendant is going to get notice of the actual case. But service under this analysis, Your Honor, is the deposit and waiting of 4 weeks and the publication. And therefore, we believe that what the district court has done is that it's broadened the terms and the requirements under Rule NRCP4, and it's expanded the scope unnecessarily and improperly to require various things that are not required for actual formal service abroad. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. This matter will stand submitted and will be in recess until the next call of the court.